The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
John.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 312. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode. In fact, my guest is making a long overdue debut on the PVD Cast, and honestly, I sat down this past weekend after actually doing another project with my guest, and I was like, holy cow, he's never been on. And we've been working together for the last couple of years. Who am I talking about? Of course, I'm talking about Meat Hook Jim. He is the ring announcer for New Ohio Wrestling. He's also a podcaster with two big podcasts, the Wrestle Horror Podcast, which I frequently guest on, as well as the Big Scary Show. Just the other day, I sat down and said to myself, I can't believe Jim has not been on, and I'm glad he took me up on the offer to come on and talk about not only professional wrestling, his fandom of professional wrestling, but he also is a huge horror guy. He has spent a lot of time in the haunt industry. He's an avid horror movie fan, so he's going to school me a little bit on some of the ins and outs of horror and haunting. And we're probably even going to share some stories from the world of professional wrestling. So don't go anywhere. You definitely want to check out this episode. But before I throw it to a quick break, I need to let you know about a great sponsor of this podcast. And of course, I'm talking about the one, the only, the five-star comic book store in the Central Ohio area. I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. If you're looking for your own comic book store to go and get your books and pick up some other cool stuff, then look no further than World's Greatest Comics. I mean, they got everything. They got single issues, they've got collections, they've got hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, toys, collectibles, posters, graphic novels. They got even comic book supplies. That's right. You need bags and boards, they got those as well. So swing on past the store and check out the selection at World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Now, if you're not in the Central Ohio area, you can still check out the store. Just go over to the website, wgcomics.com, and you can even find them on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. And please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that little bit of news taken care of, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm going to be joined by my guest, ring announcer and podcaster extraordinaire, Meat Hook Jim. Ladies and gentlemen, sitting down with me this evening is a colleague of mine at New Ohio Wrestling. He is the ring announcer extraordinaire, Meat Hook Jim. Jim, how you doing?
You know, John, I am doing awesome. It's good, always good to talk to you. And we had a lot of fun just recently.
We did. There's an episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast that's coming up talking about the news that NOW will be at the Arnold this year. And things got a little out of control, didn't they?
They did. And you know what? It just made it even more interesting and more fun.
There you go. When is that dropping, by the way? It's not out yet, correct?
No, that will be dropping on Monday.
Okay. All right. So the 13th, check it out. Yes. And you know what? Let's just talk about it since we're here. We're talking about Wrestle Horror. There's a lot of things we want to talk about, but let's go ahead and start. You know, you are a podcaster, and one of your projects is the Wrestle Horror Podcast. For those folks that maybe don't know, can you explain what the Wrestle Horror Podcast is all about?
Absolutely. You know, Wrestle Horror actually is the brainchild of Donnie Hoover, who's the promoter of New Ohio Wrestling. And he got with me several years ago and said, hey, you know, let's put a podcast together because we can combine what we love, pro wrestling and horror and Halloween and haunted attractions. It's been an amazing journey. You know, we Donnie and I do Wrestle Horror once a week, and we cover, you know, sometimes we have wrestling guests, sometimes we have horror guests, sometimes we have a Halloween enthusiast. It's just an amazing amalgamation because people don't understand how much wrestling and horror actually kind of intertwine in the grand scheme of things. And that's what we're trying to bring to the masses.
Well, let's talk about it. How do the worlds of horror and wrestling kind of run parallel, for lack of a better term?
Well, if you think about it, you know, horror actors or haunted house actors, they are programmed to do a certain thing at a certain time. And it's really the same thing with pro wrestling. Pro wrestlers, I mean, if we don't shatter kayfabe, which we're going to do, it's, you know, wrestlers tell a story, they act, they project a character, and it's not that much different from a horror or a haunted house actor. You're doing a character to entertain the people, whether it be entertaining or scary. And that's the way it works with Halloween and horror, is entertainment or scary. Some way you're entertaining the people. You know, you might be making them laugh, you might be scaring the crap out of them, but in both cases, they do intertwine. And if you go to Halloween and horror conventions, more than likely you're going to find pro wrestlers there because of the synergy between the two.
So would you say it's an accurate statement to say that horror actors or haunt actors and pro wrestlers, they have to have the psychology down of what they're doing?
Oh, absolutely. It's got to be in your mind. With pro wrestlers, you know, it's all about storytelling. It's all about driving the emotion of the fans. And it's not that much different in horror and Halloween. It's driving that emotion and making them feel fear or joy or anything in between.
Well, let's go back to Wrestle Horror for a quick moment. Sure. I'm going to put you on the spot. What's been your favorite episode so far? Because what you're on, what, 150, 155?
Yeah, well, no, we're actually around, I actually uploaded the latest episode, which is ours. And it's 124.
124. Okay, so I was overshooting. Well, look at me. I'm in the wrestling biz. Can't you tell? What do you mean? There's 300 people in the crowd. What are you talking about?
It's just the bottom line is you're entertaining people, and that's what pro wrestlers do, and that's what haunters and horror actors do. You entertain people, and you do it however you can. With wrestlers, you're telling a story, you're eliciting emotion, you know, whether you're a heel or a face, you know, people are going to react, the crowd's going to react some way. As you well know, I mean, you've been in pro wrestling long enough to know that the crowd reacts, and it's the same way with horror and Halloween. If a horror actor is out there or a Halloween actor is out there and they're getting nothing from the crowd, then something needs to be done to amp that up. I've been a horror actor, I mean, off and on professionally for about 12 years, but all in all about 20 years, I've done home haunts and things like that. And nothing thrills me more than to get some kind of reaction. I don't care if they laugh or they scream and they run away, as long as I'm getting a reaction. And it's the same with wrestlers. You want that pop, you want that heat, but you don't want to be stuck in the middle where people are going, yeah, okay, this just sucks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you sidestepped my question. What's your favorite episode of Wrestle Horror so far?
Okay. My favorite episode. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We're going all over the place tonight, folks. Just hold on tightly. It's going to be a wild ride. Go ahead, Jim.
This is going to be tough because we've had so many episodes. You know, 100. We're up to 124 now. I'm kind of divided because I've got my favorite pro wrestler show, and I've got my favorite haunt actor show.
Well, let's hear both of them.
Okay. Well, for pro wrestling, I was absolutely thrilled. It's been a year or so. We had Lufisto, the Wounded Owl, on the show, and she was just a wealth of knowledge. And for those of you that don't know who Lufisto is, why don't you? Because she is just an amazing talent. She works mainly in Canada, but I've had the opportunity to see her perform. We've had her on the show, and I just recently found out that she's working on getting her visa cleared so she can come back to the U.S. And you never know where she might show up, maybe even NOW.
That would be really, really cool. How about your favorite haunt or horror person that you've interviewed on the Wrestle Horror Podcast?
Hands down, David Howard Thornton. And if you don't know the name, let me elaborate a little bit. There is a horror movie out called Terrifier, with where the protagonist or the antagonist is Art the Clown, and he is just creepy to the nth degree. And it was been about a year since we had him on Wrestle Horror. At the time we were talking to him, he was talking about doing Terrifier 2, which is due to come out soon. And Art the Clown, David Howard and Thornton, two different people, but you know, David is very accommodating and Art the Clown is very sadistic. If you haven't seen Terrifier, go see Terrifier, because watch the hacksaw scene. That's all you need to know.
When you put it like that, I mean, there's no debating that it's probably going to scare the crap out of you, the hacksaw scene.
Well, you know, honestly, that scene blew my mind. I was slow to catch up on it, but I did. And what he did was just next level. I mean, you've seen Jason, you've seen Michael Myers, you've seen Leatherface, but what Art the Clown does in Terrifier is a different level of creepy, and it just makes you squirm watching it. I mean, just like I said, I'm not going to give away everything, just hacksaw. Just remember that.
Well, you touched base on that you have been a haunt actor yourself for a number of years. Take me back. How did you get started doing haunt acting?
Wow, that goes, let me tell you, that goes way back, John, way back. For the listeners listening, I am 56 years old, and I first started scaring people when I was 4. The unfortunate victim of most of my scaring as a child was my mother. And I did everything I can to scare her as a child. And I scared her most of the time, and it could be so much as just a boo, or I'd creep up on her, and it just kind of grew from there. I've always had a love of Halloween, and I started making my own costumes around the age of 8 or 9. One of the first costumes I ever made myself, me, was I love Kiss, the band Kiss, and Gene Simmons' favorite out of all of them. And I think 9 or 10, I made a costume to look like Gene Simmons. And I did the bat wings using garbage bags and sweaters. And I taped up my shoes to make him look like his boots. And I didn't know much about makeup back then, so I used zinc oxide for clown white, and I used some of my mom's black makeup for the eyes, and I had an absolute blast as Gene Simmons.
You didn't spit the blood?
No blood. I didn't have access to blood being that age, but you know, and then there were other costumes going on. I made a Spider-Man costume when I was like 13. They had these things out, these web shooters you could buy at like Kmart. I'm dating myself, but
no, that's okay. That's okay. I remember Kmart fondly.
You could buy these web shooters that had darts, and they were strapped to your wrist. They had darts and string where you could shoot your quote unquote web shooters. And that was a Spider-Man costume I did. And it just evolved from there. The next thing I did was at my house, I would set up a bowl of candy and I would have a flying ghost that was done with a coat hanger on fishing line, which you can't see. And I would sit there with a bowl of candy in my lap with zinc oxide on my face. And people would come up and grab the candy. And sometimes I would growl at them because they thought I was a dummy. And I'd hit a button and down come the ghost and they'd run away screaming.
So how do you make the transition from doing those type of things as a kid and as a teenager to being an adult and getting into the business in a professional level?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because I kind of did a transitional period. As I hit my adult years, about the age of 21, I'm sure people are familiar with the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, I had partnered with my roommate and we had created a shadow cast for the movie. This is 86, I think. And we did, you know, we performed the movie in front of the screen while the movie was going on. I played Eddie and Dr. Scott.
Okay.
But I will say that I'm a big man. I'm 6'4". Right now, back then I was a little lighter. I was about maybe 210 pounds. And there were times when my roommate who played Dr. Frankenfurter couldn't make it. So it fell upon me to fill in that role. So I can say I can walk in high heels.
And high heels, does that make you what, 6'5" and a half?
At least.
At least, okay.
At least. I can walk in high heels. I could probably still do it. I haven't tried it lately, but it's like riding a bicycle. You don't forget.
Okay.
So I did about 10 years of Rocky Horror in various incarnations in different cities. And then I kind of retired for a little bit and I ended up moving up. This was all in Florida, I should explain. And then I moved up to Ohio in 2007. Well, as I was in Ohio, Halloween is still a big love of mine. And in 2008, in the Cincinnati area, of course, it was Kings Island. And they were advertising for haunt actors for Kings Island Haunt. So I said, oh, I've got to get into this. And this is the first time I did it professionally. I went in, you know, I did my audition, they placed me, and I'm the type of person who likes to push the envelope. And at first, when they put me into where I was working, it was called Urgent Scare. And it was the first time they had done this. It was a hospital scene. And initially, I was put in as a victim in a bed that was throwing up, being sick from this contagion. And this just didn't work for me. And I talked to my supervisors and said, and they looked at me and goes, you need to be doing something other than just being this. So I transitioned from being a victim to being an antagonist. And I was a doctor where they stuck me in this, what they called the Hellevator, which is an elevator simulation that just scares the crap out of you. And I was just thrusting a knife and scaring people and trying to attack them. And I was blind. I had this blind prosthetic where people couldn't see my eyes. I could see perfectly well, but I would swing my knife over their heads knowing that, you know, obviously I can't hurt the patrons, but I can scare the hell out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for the whole season. I was giggling after about the third week of doing this, going, I'm having the time of my life and I'm getting paid for it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you run kind of your own haunt actors troupe for a while?
I did. Okay. After Kings Island, I spent 2 years at Kings Island. And then I spent 4 years at the Dent Schoolhouse in Cincinnati, which is one of the top rated haunts in the country. But after that, I wanted to expand my horizons and I wanted to, you know, give more to the people. And that's when I, with my business partner, the late Jason Henry, God rest his soul, we created a group called MAL, which stands for Mobile Actors United Legion. And what we would do is we would you know, we'd put our services out to any haunt that needed haunt actors or queue line actors, because I love queue line acting. It is absolutely the best part of haunt acting to me. But I had a team of like 20 people, and I would send them to different haunts to perform and, you know, fill in spots that these haunted attractions may need. So for 6 years, we did this, and it was very successful. Heck, it paid for my honeymoon when I got married back in 2018. That's how successful it was.
Could you define for the listeners real quick? You said queue line acting. Could you maybe describe how that is different than being in the haunted house or in the haunted attraction and acting that way?
Absolutely. Queue line acting is a different animal all in itself. When you go to a haunted attraction, a haunted house, you're standing in a queue line waiting to get into the attraction. In most places I've dealt with, they have actors that are interacting with everybody in that queue line to kind of break up the monotony of waiting 1 to 2 hours to get into the haunted attraction. And these queue line actors work together, and we will do things to just terrorize you. It's not just one person, it's multiple people. And if you get somebody that may not be scared of you, you kind of, you get over to another actor that might scare them more, and give them, you know, you subtly give them a little information. And not only are you entertaining these people and keeping them occupied and making them forget about the long wait, but you're also scaring them.
So when the line moves, do you move with that mark, so to speak? If you got this person that you're scaring, do you follow them, or do you let them move on up the line and you look for your next target?
That all depends on the mark itself.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, the mark is really terrified and you keep working it. You'll work it all the way till they get into the attraction. And believe me, I've seen people drop in the queue line. I've seen people puke in the queue line. But other people are just like, you know, they're not that intimidated. So you just kind of let them go and maybe send somebody else over there before they get in trying to get something out of them. But queue line acting is a key part of most haunted attractions because it keeps the people's minds off of the long wait.
I don't know. And maybe you know. I don't know who created that idea, but that's a heck of a good idea.
It has been going on as long as I've been in the attraction industry.
Okay. Well, let's talk about something that is related to the haunt industry. That's your other podcast, The Big Scary Show. So why don't you let the listeners know how that got started?
Well, The Big Scary Show, absolutely my favorite. Not to say I don't love wrestle horror, because I love them both, but there's a history, you know. Myself and my four co-hosts, as we call ourselves, we were all part of a previous podcast back in 2010, 2011, called Rotting Flesh Radio. At one point in time, the guy that was running that decided he didn't want to do it anymore. He wanted to go and do Disney stuff. So the four of us are like, okay, this leaves a big open void in the haunted attraction industry, because people used to get all their information from Rotting Flesh Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So myself, Drew Badger, Jason Storm, and Jerry Vane, all of us had been with Rotting Flesh Radio. We got together, and in 2012, April 13th of 2012, I would say exactly, because it was a day I got let go from one of my jobs. It was a Friday, April 13th, 2012. We created The Big Scary Show to fill that void. We're coming up. It's going to be 10 years in April.
Mm-hmm.
10 years we've been doing this. We cover everything in the Halloween and a haunted attraction industry. You know, we talk to horror celebrities. We talk to haunted attraction vendors and celebrities. We have a myriad. We're like the, how do I explain it? We consolidate everything. We're a get everything you need to know in one show podcast. We run 2.5 hours every other week. And aside from that, on the opposite weeks we're not running, we have a smaller one called Big Scary News, which kind of brings in the stuff we can't throw in during the regular shows, which is hosted by the voice of our show, Drew Badger. Drew, he's got a history in radio. And, you know, he's the voice of the Big Scary Show, and he's the voice of Big Scary News. He's been a good friend of mine for 12 years now, and nobody does it better than he does when it comes to the Big Scary Show. And I couldn't be more proud to be a part of this show. Going on 10 years, this show has actually lasted longer than our original podcast, Rotting Flesh Radio. Matter of fact, you told me earlier this is an audio podcast, but I have a Big Scary Show tattoo on my left arm. That's how proud I am of what we've done. And, you know, almost 10 years in now, I don't see any sign of us slowing down. People come to us to get their latest haunting and horror news.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk for a minute about why horror is your favorite genre.
You know, that's kind of funny, and I'll tell you why. I'll give you a little story, a little background.
Okay.
As a kid, couldn't stand to watch it. Scared the crap out of me.
Okay.
I mean, to the point from the age of probably about 10 to 18, it terrified me. I could not watch it without having nightmares. Any horror movie. At the age of 18, I don't know, I think there was some kind of switch that flipped in my head. To give an example, at the age of 17, people invited me to go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show. I would not go see it because it had the word horror in it.
Yeah. You were that traumatized.
Yes, I was.
Okay.
I mean, I remember at the age of 10 or 11 being so terrified after watching a horror movie. I was like, Mom, Dad, can I sleep in your room? But I don't know, John, I honestly don't know what happened at the age of 18. I don't know, maybe the switch in my said, hey, you're a man, suck it up.
Maybe.
But from that point on, I watched horror movies and I gathered information. You know, nowadays I sit down and watch a horror movie and I laugh a lot of times. Although I will take notes if I see a particularly gruesome kill that might be able to be used in some kind of horror haunt situation. But it takes an incredible amount to scare me now. I mean, I am so nonplussed. Bear in mind, I started at 18. I'm 56, almost 57. So there's a big gap in there where I've learned how to deal with this. But people laugh because I couldn't watch a horror movie until the age of 18.
You know what? That surprises me. I'll be honest, Jim, because I just assume that you fell in love with that genre maybe when you were a kid and it just, you know, kept on going throughout the years. So I'm really surprised by that.
Well, I'll tell you this, John. I might have been not hugely in love with the genre as a child, but I always loved Halloween. Always. And that's kind of what got me through the rest of this, is the fact that I loved Halloween, and I just kind of correlated the two in my head finally. And, and that's where I ended up. I've created some characters that quite frankly were scare the crap out of you. And if we were on, I actually had brought up something I was going to show you if we were on video, but it's actually my Meat Hook Jim mask.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it. The fans, man, you know what? We'll talk about social media and where you can get in touch with Jim. And, there's a couple of pictures of that on his social media, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's scary. It's, you know what? It's scary and it's also unnerving. That's another adjective I would use.
And the beauty of it, I will tell you, John, is I've worked with it. This particular mask is, let's see, it's 10 years old, almost 11 years old. It's a great mask because it stands up to time because it's made out of silicone.
Okay.
And the first day I got it, I ordered it. I had it specially ordered. It took me months to get it in. But when I've worn it, people look at me thinking it's an amazing makeup job. And I will even let people touch it, and they touch the bloody part of it and they cringe because it feels surreal.
Well, what are some of your favorite horror movies or characters?
Oh, goodness. One of my favorite horror movies is Jeepers Creepers.
Okay.
And the Creeper is probably, if not at the top, he's pretty close to the top of my favorite characters. I've actually met the actor. God, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. It's Jonathan something. And I hope he doesn't. I hope he's not listening to this because I can't remember his name. But he was, if you've seen the movie, he is actually a very good looking man. And I say that because he is. But as the creeper, he's downright scary. And Donnie, Donnie loves Jason. And, I can't fault the Friday the 13th franchise. But the creeper from Jeepers Creepers, probably Pinhead from the Hellraiser series are probably two of my favorites. And I'm proud to say that I met the original Leatherface from the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974.
Oh, man. How was that experience?
I met him at Horror Hound back in, I think, 2008, 2009. And there weren't a lot of people going to his booth, which kind of disappointed me.
Mm-hmm.
But it afforded me some time to talk to him. I sat there and talked to Gunnar Hansen for a good 15 minutes about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and his role in it and everything. And I of course, got an autographed picture, which says, "Jim, you're next, Gunnar Hansen." But it was an amazing experience to be able to spend that much time talking to a horror icon.
Right, right.
Unfortunately, he did pass since then, but I've still got that memory and the picture and the autograph. I've got a picture with him and the autograph with him, which I'll always cherish because, Leatherface has been one of my favorites, probably right there in the top three, probably with, the Creeper and with Pinhead. Leatherface is up there too.
Would the actor be Jonathan Breck?
Thank you. I could not remember his last name.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Cause I was like that. I'm looking it up. I can't leave you hanging, man.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation for just a moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are a great sponsor of the PBD cast, and they're also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, back issues, comic book supplies. Basically, they got you covered. And if you want to make sure you never miss a single issue of your favorite comic, sign up for their pull system, and when it comes in, they'll hold a copy for you. You can check them out by stopping by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can find them online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. All right, well, let's switch gears. Let's start talking about some wrestling, if you will.
All right.
Walk us through, how did you first discover pro wrestling?
Well, I was probably 11 or 12. And at that point, up to that point, I always correlated wrestling with boxing, which I really don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousins, I have some cousins. I've got one cousin that's actually 2 years older than me to the day.
Mm-hmm.
Same birthday and everything. And, we would spend time down there in Florida with them as kids. And they said, sit down and watch this with us. And I sat down and watched it. It's like, oh, my God, this is great. I love this. This is not like boring boxing. This is fun.
Mm-hmm.
So from the age of about 12, when I got home, I would find all the wrestling I could on TV Guide, and which was Florida Championship Wrestling and then Georgia Championship Wrestling because we had TBS at the time.
Okay.
So, my Saturdays at noon, it was Florida Championship Wrestling. At 6:05, it was Georgia Championship Wrestling. And I didn't miss an episode. I mean, this was just amazing to me. I loved watching it, and it kind of grew from there. And then there was one wrestler that showed up in 85, which was, I was a little bit older then, but Sting.
Okay.
Was amazing.
So he's one of your favorites?
Sting is actually absolutely my favorite. But let me backpedal for a second.
Sure.
At the age of like 15 or 16, I was going to the Melbourne, Florida auditorium where they had Florida Championship Wrestling once a month. And we had stars like Barry Windham and Bugsy McGraw, Les Thornton, and that type of those type of wrestlers. And I was enamored. And every time I got a chance to go to the live shows, I did. I actually met Dusty Rhodes at one of those shows and got an autographed picture with him. I wish I still had it, but somehow over the years it has disappeared.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was disappointed about that. But I got to tell you this. At the age of 16, I think it was, my best friend Rick and I, we were hanging out back trying to get autographs from the wrestlers after the show. And Bugsy McGraw came out. And we followed him down to the ABC liquor store on Babcock Street in Melbourne. And he went in there and got a 12-pack. And he came out, and there's me and Rick still waiting for him. And first of all, if you don't know the Bugsy McGraw character, he was crazy. The character is absolutely nuts. Bugsy was the most well-spoken man I've ever met. And he looked at me, and he looked at my best friend Rick. He goes, "You guys want a beer?"
I'm not going to lie. I was so hoping that sentence came out of your mouth. I'm like, because when you said he bought a 12 pack, I'm like, please, in my head, I'm like, please, I hope Bugsy offers him a beer.
So me and Rick were sitting in the parking lot of the ABC liquor store in Melbourne, Florida, drinking beer with Bugsy McGraw.
Oh, that's awesome. That is good stuff.
It was just phenomenal. And a couple of shows later, you know, because back at that day, you couldn't convince me for the world that wrestling wasn't staged. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of shows later, Barry Windham was wrestling Les Thornton. Barry was the face, Thornton was the heel. And me and Rick are out back waiting for him. And Barry walks out with Les and looks at him and goes, "Let's go get a beer."
Oh, man. You know what? You said two things that resonates with me. I, too, equated boxing with wrestling for a short amount of time until I started watching it. And I agree 100% with you, Jim. I think I even remember telling some folks at elementary school, like, boxing's boring. You just punch people. In wrestling, you could body slam, a pile driver, suplex. And like, it was exciting. So I totally connect with that statement. And also, much like you, I always knew as a kid that something was up with wrestling. Like I knew it wasn't 100% real, but I didn't know how it was. You know what I mean? Like I had that, just like a magician. Like I know as a kid, I know David Copperfield didn't make that plane disappear, but damn it, where'd it go? Right. How did you do it? You know? And I was that kid too. Like I knew there was something up, but I couldn't figure out how. And that was the magic of it.
It was the magic, but you know, I kind of push that aside and I enjoy the story that's being told. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not knowing what's going to happen kind of accentuates the story. You know that it's you know that it's predetermined, but you don't know how it's going to go until you watch it. That makes sense.
It makes absolute sense. I think the listeners who have, if they've listened to this podcast a lot, they know that we talk quite a bit about that idea of psychology of a match, making sure things make sense. So you mentioned Sting is one of your favorites. Can you mention some of your other favorites that you had as a fan?
Well, Sting was at the top of the list. You know, another one of my absolute favorites is Abyss.
Okay.
Fortunate enough to meet him as well. Kind of bummed they went to WWE, but hey, you know, paycheck's a paycheck. Mm-hmm. Who else? I've met so many wrestlers over the years. You know, Sting just really sticks out in the top, but people like, oh gosh, well, besides Abyss, Kurt Angle.
Okay. How about some of the folks from Championship Wrestling from Florida or Georgia Championship Wrestling when you were a kid?
Oh, okay. That's easy. Nikita Koloff.
Okay.
Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, devil worshiping Kevin Sullivan?
The Taskmaster, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Okay.
I'm fortunate enough to meet him last year at Squared Circle Expo. That was on my bucket list.
Okay, cool.
And, of course, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. You had to love him or hate him. But-
oh, yeah, definitely. Man, oh, man, just as a kid, I couldn't stand Ric Flair, but as I got older, he started getting cool. You know what I mean? Like I got it.
I could not stand Ric Flair in a match with Sting. As time went on and as I got older, like you said, I appreciated the coolness of it. I was fortunate enough to meet Ric a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, was on my bucket list, and he was pretty cool. I mean, of course, you know, he wouldn't do a shout out for my podcast without me paying him $500, but.
Yeah, well, he's a businessman. Yeah.
He is. And there's female wrestlers out there that I absolutely love. And one that I adore is Rosemary from Impact. Just her character, her in-ring work, it just resonates. Rosemary, and then there's Allie, a.k.a. The Bunny, who now works in AEW. I was fortunate enough to meet her as well, and she's just a bomb. Really sweet, but I love the character work, and the whole thing with her death and Impact with Rosemary was, you know, it was a storyline that had been brewing for months, and I appreciated the story. And of course, I've got to go back to the NWO.
You were a fan of the NWO?
Absolutely. Paul and the whole storyline, and it was more Sting than the NWO at the time because Sting didn't speak for a year.
Mm-hmm.
He just kept showing up. You know, when it culminated with Sting versus Hogan and the botched finish that nobody will ever forget.
No.
In spite of that, you know, Sting, quote unquote, won. The NWO, I've met Kevin Nash. I've met Scott Hall. And I'm shorter than both of them, which is saying a lot because I'm 6'4". But NWO, they were the cool group. They were heels, but they were still cool.
Yes, and that's what made them vastly popular and millionaires.
Yes, yes. And then they progressed into the NWO Wolfpack, which included Sting.
Right.
Which was even cooler to me.
Okay. All right. Well, don't forget about the Latin World Order, too. They had the LWO.
And don't forget Blue Meanie's BWO.
That's right. There we go. We're coming full circle. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about how you got started with New Ohio Wrestling. All right. Obviously, you and Donnie had a relationship from the haunt industry, but how did you end up finally getting in and being our fantastic ring announcer?
You flatter me, sir. Thank you. Well, it all started, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago? I think it was 3, maybe 4. I been in the haunted attraction industry for years, and Donnie showed up at a Midwest Haunters Convention, and, you know, it was serendipity, really, because he showed up at the right time. Because he came to the Big Scary Show booth, and I happened to be there, and he came up and asked me about possibly working together to create a new podcast. And it all started, it's like, okay, well, I can do this for you. I said, and he told me he had his promotion, New Ohio Wrestling. And he said, well, I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a hand putting this together if you let me guest ring announce. You know, I did not know how good of friends Donnie and I would become at this point, but it was a mutual thing. And he said, you know, come to the show and we'll put you in as a guest ring announcer. And I started working with him on putting together what is now Wrestle Horror. And I showed up for that first show scared out of my wits. I didn't know what to do. I was supposed to announce, it was supposed to be Lady Frost versus Queen Aminata, but Lady Frost couldn't make it. So they turned it into a gimmick match with Eric Smalls.
I remember this match.
And I was so unsure of myself that my voice did not project like it does now, but I remember it. And I remember Queen Amy coming in and snatching the microphone out of my hand and running her mouth as the heel and then shoving the microphone back into my, in my chest. And I was just eating that all up. And like I said, you know, my voice wasn't there, but Donnie kept giving me opportunities because I liked what I was doing and I knew I could do it. So it turned from being a guest ring announcer to now I am the main ring announcer for New Ohio Wrestling. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. I absolutely love what I do for New Ohio Wrestling.
To speak objectively, and I know there's listeners that are probably going to give an eye roll, and that's fine. You're entitled to, but I will say this, Jim, you know, I remember your first appearance as that guest ring announcer. And then just up to, you know, a few months ago when we were, you know, out at the Obets and whatnot, that you've grown so much as a ring announcer. I really mean that, you know, that you do seem so much more confident now than you did back in that day, or even the first couple times you did it. You do a great job. You have a great voice for it, and you have a good presence. Just keep improving, you know.
Well, you know, John, I really appreciate those comments, and that means a lot to me because, you know, I just want to do better. And the funny thing is, you know, I was reading an article from one wrestling promotion that doesn't use ring announcers that are over a certain height. Like I might have said earlier, I'm 6'4", and I tower over a lot of the wrestlers, especially Jake Healy.
But again, you know, you and I've talked about it, and I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. I think that you can use that at times to your advantage.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, especially, you know, when you've worked with Eileen, you've worked with the Golden Idol, you know, you've used that to your advantage. And I think it comes off good. It comes off with some entertainment value that maybe would not be there at the beginning of the match. So I think you're using it. You got to pick your spots as to when to use it.
Right. I agree with you. And, you know, that last show we did where the Golden Idol, tried to make off with the Wrestle Horror belt, I made it perfectly plain that he wasn't leaving with it.
That's right. Well, let's start finishing up here, Jim, with a couple just random questions here. We're going to go back to podcasting.
Sure.
I'm always curious to hear from other podcasters, what are the pros and cons of being involved in the podcasting world?
Oh, well, you know, the pros are, you know, I get to get my voice out there because I am an entertainer. I like to entertain people. And Meat Hook Jim is different from Jim Millspa, as I made on a recent Facebook post. You know, my private life is completely different. I'm a family man. I'm quiet. I observe a lot. But Meat Hook Jim, on the other hand, he likes to be in the thick of things. He likes to make people be entertained. And I love the podcasting world, but sometimes it takes up a bit of my time because not only am I a host, but I also do most of the production on both of my podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes time.
It does. And the thing is, you know, I think that you would agree with me, you want to put out the best product possible.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't want to put out a half-baked episode that's, you know, clearly not up to the standards that you have. And that, you know, I do appreciate that about you. And it takes time to do that. I'm totally with you. Absolutely. I think that is a con that many podcasters have, is that it takes a lot of time to do what you love.
And it does. And, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time away from my wife. I try to do it when she's at work because she usually works evenings. But that doesn't always occur. So I try to make a balance to where everything is copacetic and everybody's happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's tell everybody where they can check you out, where they can check out the Big Scary Show, Wrestle Horror, you know, all the things connected to Meat Hook Jim, which, by the way, just going to say it, for having the nickname of Meat Hook, you are one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Well, I will tell you, the name Meat Hook Jim actually came from one of my Koga hosts on the Big Scary Show, Jason.
Oh, really?
He came up with the name Meat Hook Jim, and it just kind of stuck.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yes, Meat Hook Jim can be nice unless you encounter him in a haunted attraction.
So just come to NOW events, folks. That's yeah, it. No, you, I'm kidding.
If you come to the NOW events, I'm not going to attack you. I can't promise that at a haunted attraction.
All right. Well, let folks know where they can find you on social media, website, and all that jazz.
Oh, absolutely. As far as Meat Hook Jim goes, I've got a Facebook page, facebook.com/MeatHookJim. I need to update that. I've been a little lax on that, but I posted a couple of things on there, and I'm going to post some new things real soon. Facebook.com/MeatHookJim. If you want to friend me, you can friend me on my personal Facebook page. That is Jim Millspa on Facebook. It's Facebook.com/JimMillspa. If you wanted to find out more about Wrestle Horror, you can go to WrestleHorror.com, or you can find Wrestle Horror on Facebook. For a Big Scary Show, which is coming up on 10 years of horrifying people, www.BigScaryShow.com, or search Big Scary Show on Facebook. You will find us. You can also find Meat Hook Jim on Instagram and Twitter at Meat Hook Jim. And yeah, I think that's about it.
Cool, man. Well, I'm glad we finally got to do this, because as I told you off air, I can't believe that we've worked together for like, what, 3 or 4 years, and I've never had you on. So I'm glad that you came on, Jim. Thank you very much.
Oh, John, thank you. I'm absolutely thrilled. And like I said, I don't do this. I'm usually on the other end of these. So whenever I get to be the guest, I'm thrilled. And thank you so much for asking me.
Hey, no problem. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Meat Hook Jim, talking about the haunt industry, horror movies, pro wrestling, and boy, it was fun having him on. And, you know, I always look forward to being on the Wrestle Horror podcast with Donnie Hoover and Jim. And sadly, sometimes, especially in the last few months, I've been so busy, I haven't been able to be on. So that's why this past weekend, when I had the opportunity to be on, I really enjoyed it. And hope to be back on Wrestle Horror quite a bit in the future. But Jim, thanks very much for sitting down and chatting with me. I really do appreciate it. And definitely, folks, next time NOW is in action, you definitely need to check out that wrestling promotion. Now, I'm going to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a comment about this episode, or any episode for that matter. Well, you can get in touch with me by shooting me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook or Instagram accounts of this podcast. Simply look for at PVDcast. And you can even find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. And now is the part of the show where I tell you where you can find the PVDcast, just in case you want to mention it to somebody. Obviously, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is probably the easiest place to go. But it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it in the search engine of your favorite podcast app, and you should be able to find it. And once you listen to an episode, please do me a favor and rate and review. I don't care what you say. You know, make it as simple as you want. Just type the word awesome or great or fantastic, and then give me the best rating you can give, and I would greatly appreciate it, because it helps me out in the algorithm and the ratings. And of course, one final thing that you must do, and that is, of course, subscribe, because you never want to miss an episode of the PVDcast. So again, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And you know, there's another avenue where you can get this fine podcast, and that's through the Facebook page at PVDcast, where every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I play the weekly episode, and I also hang out and answer questions or comments that might pop up in the comment section. So it's a whole lot of fun, so you want to check it out, just in case you haven't checked out any of the other avenues. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up. Once again, thank you very much for checking out this episode. I'm going to get on out of here, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.